is born as Jew or as Muslim, that he has to cling to this religion, or is there any universal religion? What's the point to pertain to one religion if every way is just the same? You love God.
Well, of course, I mean, loving us is an art. Remember, it's not a simple thing. You have to learn it. And prophets are there in order to teach us how to love God. It is not just a claim. It is not a simple feeling. It is not like that. Therefore, we need some teachers, some mentors, if you like, somebody to teach us how to find the beloved, how to describe him, how to visualize him, how to love him, how to go about the love, how to respect the beloved, and so on. Otherwise, yes, love is like faith. It is a universal thing. It is to be found in every and any religion, and all prophets actually were there in order to teach us how to love God. But mind you, no prophet, as far as we know, their tradition, were Sufis. It is not the case. Actually, Sufis added a lot to the religious traditions and culture. This idea of love is a Sufi concept. I'm not saying that you wouldn't find it in Islam or Judaism or Christianity, but not as elaborated on as it is in the Sufi tradition. So Sufis made a very good service to all religions. And without these kind of mystical expressions or teachings, I think no religion had the chance of survival. No religion had the chance of survival. They actually made it so immediate, so direct, so fascinating that the people actually loved religions. And so this is something which we owe it to mystical tradition of Sufis. Prophets, for many reasons, even if they were themselves lovers of God, they were not allowed, they were not in a position actually to invest much on the idea of love. Prophets are for the reason or for the imagination of the people. Their main addressee, their main audience, were the ordinary average people. And for the ordinary average people, most of these things are even dangerous, you see. So that's why Sufis usually, I mean Rumi especially, talks a lot about the intimate friends, people he confided the secrets. It is not, I mean, he says his teachings and his writings for everybody, because that might be harmful to them, might be dangerous to them. You see, Dr. Horton Tigre Pouladast, my points are very dangerous, like the sword. That's what he says. So people who are who cannot confront it, who cannot face it, should not carry it, should not take it. So that is the main thing. Therefore, when you see, for example, this kind of love talk, you cannot find it, neither in Christianity, nor in Judaism, nor in Islam. But you find it in the tradition of the interpreters. You see, they have added something to this tradition. And this we have to be aware of and make a distinction between this and the true and pure tradition of religions.
I think we have time for one more question. Yes?
Ibn Sina? Oh, yes. Oh, yes. 3 centuries after him. Well, as far as I can say, Rumi, anyway, did not like philosophy and did not like philosophers. You see, therefore, I mean, Ibn Sina was not a favorite person to him, definitely. But this does not mean that he was not familiar with his ideas. You see, Rumi was an Ash'arite, and in Ash'arism, actually, philosophy is not something I mean, a welcome thing. They do not like it much. And as against Mu'tazilis, actually they reject and repudiate. Mingling religion, it will corrupt our understanding of the religion. And in Masnavi, many times actually, Rumi mentions philosophy and philosophers. And he means by that, especially Mu'tazilis, who were under the influence of the Greek philosophy, and Ibn Sina, I mean, as an important example in this respect. And there is no indication whatsoever in all his poetry that he was directly under the influence of Ibn Sina. No. And sometimes actually he mentions once, I remember in the whole Masnavi, the name of Ibn Sina. And by allusion, I mean without mentioning the name, to some other philosophers, but always with contempt. With contempt. And he says that, he gives a very, very good story, but I will tell you the story later in another session. But he said, I mean, philosophers, first of all, they are competitors of prophets. And because of that, he does not like them. He thinks that philosophers are very arrogant, very proud of themselves. And they think that they can reach God and they can find God directly, without the aid or the help of the prophets. And that is the main wrong conception with philosophy and philosophers, according to Rumi. And the second thing is this, that even when they are right, even when they are right, they make our way to God longer, whereas it is the business and the function of the prophet to make our way to God shorter. So there is a big difference between philosophers and prophets. And because of all these reasons, of course, I mean, Rumi could not like Ibn Sina or come under his influence. And mind you, again, I mean, there is another reason for the Rumi under influence of Al-Ghazali. And you know, Al-Ghazali wrote a lot against Ibn Sina. So even by that reason as well, Rumi could not love Ibn Sina or respect him. So these are the main things demonstrate very clearly that Rumi and Ibn Sina, their ways were far apart from each other.
Well, I'd like to thank everyone again for coming, and again.